Welcome to the Health and Fitness Frederick Podcast, where we discuss all things related to health and wellness. We dispel common myths and misconceptions regarding healthcare, and we do it in a way that you can actually understand. And it is hosted by yours truly, Dr. Matt Silver, Doctor of Physical Therapy, and founder of Alpha Project Physio and Performance. All right, guys, thanks for joining us today. And to today's episode, I have a special guest on. I'm in a group that is a group of physical therapists that are changing the way that therapy is done because the insurance-based model that we're going to talk about today really is not very conducive to many patients and really for the long-term health of many patients. So without further ado, I have Andrew Keenis on, and he is a fantastic therapist in Charlotte, North Carolina, correct?
Yeah, you got it.
Awesome. Andrew, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. This is a super passionate topic, getting into, this model and kind of telling y'all more about, what I do and how, we can help, athletes just, reach their potential and take their abilities to the next level. So I'm excited to be here. Thanks again.
Yeah. So let's do this. I guess tell people, kind of, why'd you get into physical therapy?
Yeah, man. So I grew up, very active guy, played sports, high school, very active throughout college, suffered a bunch of different injuries, but personal trainer for many years. And I knew I wanted to, get into the, I knew I wanted to do a graduate degree. I knew I had the potential to really kind of, get into a higher level medical profession. And I kind of explored, sports medicine and physicians and, medical doctors and physical therapists and physician assistants and things of that sort. But chose physical therapy just because, it's so unique compared to the others I mentioned, in that we can spend, hopefully, if it's in the right location, a full hour with an athlete and, see them on a regular basis and really make some lasting changes long-term versus some of the other, professions that I mentioned, sports medicine physicians, for instance. It's hard for them to develop any kind of relationship with their athletes, with their patients, because typically, I'm sure those that are listening here, y'all have been there where it's 5-10 minute visit in and out. And then after waiting in the waiting room for an hour, it sucks. And I just wanted to be able to, work with athletes in a way that could really help make changes long-term, and just kind of drove me into the field of physical therapy.
Nice. And it sounds like you did some research too about, you knew, hey, I wanted something in the kind of the sports and are helping people that are active kind of realm. And then it sounds like all these other opportunities like, hey, sports med or physician, but it seems that physical therapy really stood out for you.
Yeah, no, I did. And I knew, there's a lot of physical therapists out there that are generalist is, that's what we graduate as. And I knew that, in order for me to really help athletes the way I wanted to and use my abilities the way I wanted to, I had to specialize. And so that's what kind of led me down a very unique course after receiving my doctorate in physical therapy, in that I did a residency. So for those out there that are, or have not heard of this before, I'm similar to like the medical model, just like a physician, physical therapists can specialize with residencies, and then also they can do subspecialties in fellowships. And so I did a residency in orthopedics and then a subspecialty fellowship in sports manual therapy. And therapy is simply just the hands-on work that we do as physical therapists to help, expedite recovery processes. So went on beyond another 3 years beyond what's typically required to become a physical therapist with residency and fellowship. And then beyond that, just to really understand the athlete and throughout this process, I became a strength coach. I became a USA weightlifting coach, and was able to just become certified in a number of different specialties to kind of round things out, such as sports nutrition and dry needling and a few others. So it's been an amazing journey.
Nice. So basically, you have a shit ton of education.
Yeah. Very all that means is I'm just very passionate about what I do, but also means that, yeah, a bit of a nerd here, but hey, I love it.
I think we're all nerds, man. So take me through, I know we were talking before the podcast, take me through about how, right, you graduate, you have your degree, and I know we were saying you were very passionate and got all this continuing education, but what made you kind of gravitate towards kind of what we do now of this cash-based model of physical therapy?
Yeah, man, I'm glad you asked. I worked for, so I was in Houston, Houston, Texas, worked there for about 3 years in a major for a major hospital. It was an outpatient setting, meaning, I say the word hospital, some may think that, they think like, acute care beds and, people with, bed pains and things like that. But no, it's an outpatient, meaning, it's just like, if you were to twist your ankle and go see a physical therapist. But anyways, worked there for a few years before moving to Charlotte, North Carolina, where I am now. Worked for a hospital system here for about 3 years. But throughout this whole process, it just became really frustrating. Became really frustrating because I knew that I could help these athletes in a really unique way, but I wasn't in the environment to help them in the way that I wanted to, in the way that I could, in a sense that a lot of our visits, they were capped at 30 minutes long, or we were forced to see multiple patients during the same hour, 2, 3, 4 patients in the same hour. And then that would also cause or force us to bring on physical therapy assistants, which great people, hardworking people, but they are unable to provide the kind of higher level expertise that doctors of physical therapy can. And more importantly, towards the athlete, it kind of tends to water things down a bit and kind of force the athlete to almost become another, number in the system. But worst of all, how many times are you in a regular physical therapy clinic and there's no rack? I mean, they were none in the clinics I worked in. Maybe they'll be around, who knows, but that was the biggest issue. Is I would get a CrossFitter, I would get a distance runner, and we need to get some serious strength training in, or, if I'm working with a power lifter, we need, his pain only comes on after deadlifting, 400 pounds or whatever the case is. And I mean, how am I supposed to rehab someone back to high level sports and activities if we don't have the equipment, the space, barbells, kettlebells, dumbbells, all that stuff? And so that was a big limiting factor. And it kind of made me realize that I'm just not in the right setting. And I didn't really, I mean, I loved elderly people and Medicare and all that, but it just wasn't my forte. I had a niche with athletes, and the only way to make that happen was to create a practice, to create a company that allowed me to work with athletes in the manner that I wanted to, that they deserved, that they need to get them back to high level sports. And that's where I created my business, which is called the Charlotte Athlete.
Nice. So yeah, we can't use barbells in physical therapy. You didn't know that? You didn't know that, man?
Khakis are required too.
What was that?
I said, yeah, and it's a requirement to wear khakis at all time too, isn't it?
Oh yes. No, you can't be comfortable as a physical therapist. But yeah. I mean that's so much. I mean, I resonate so well with that story, Andrew, of just because I mean, how long were you a physical therapist before you decided, hey, I want to do something different? How long was that?
About five and a half years.
Okay. And I'm like, I was about a year and a half out when I decided that this, this is not for me, not my thing. So, it's draining too. I mean, it's just talking about, hey, you see these people and these patients that, you know, for a fact you can get them better. But the fact that, insurance only reimburses so much. I can't. 30 visits, you're done, man. ACL, 30 visits. Well, nope. Good luck. Hope you have a good trainer. Like, that's the way it is. And it's so frustrating. Just not that there's certain people that you want to work with, other people that, sure, you'll work with them, but being able to work with the people you can help and give them that full hour. I'm sure you can attest to that. Just how beneficial is that to somebody's recovery, is giving them a full hour of just one-on-one care?
Oh, yeah, it makes a huge difference. And you touched on the insurance factor, which was, I mean, there's many other factors too that came into, you know, my choice with this. But, you know, having insurance dictate what I can and can't do was ridiculous, because most of the time it's just, you know, some gentleman or lady sitting in Missouri behind a desk that's like looking at these sheets and they have no idea what's going on. And they don't really know truly, you know, the state physically or mentally that the athlete is in and the competitions that they want to get back to doing. And, you know, it's a, having those insurance, taking away those insurance barriers and being able to provide whatever I need to provide for that care, you know, for that patient and not having any restrictions was a huge, you know, weight off my shoulders. It was just frustrating. And not to mention, you know, I'm an athlete myself. You know, I'm a CrossFit. I do run, you know, at least once a week. I love to do Spartan races. I'm very active, and it's just, being able to relate with your athletes, with your clients and going through the grind that they're going through can also play a big difference as well. And I just didn't really connect with the, not that I have anything, you know, there's nothing wrong with treating sedentary, you know, everyday folks that are, you know, it just wasn't my cup of tea. And I knew that I could make a larger impact if I utilized my unique skill set.
And I love how you say your unique skill set, because it's, we're almost the same as, it's the same thing as like a primary care physician versus an orthopedist or right, a cardiologist, a cardiothoracic surgeon, right? So think about this, right? You're a physical therapist and you're a generalist when you get out of school, and then you decide, hey, Andrew, you're going to specialize in CrossFit, Olympic lifting, and powerlifting, right? So that, to me, that's the same thing as you're a physician or an MD, and then you take a residency in to become an orthopedist, right? Like, you specialize in this one population, and right, that's who you see, right? And that's the, right, to me, that's the, it's a no-brainer, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Nice. So I think I have I kind of have a story of how insurance has had really impacted me. So I'd love to get your kind of, just, it's more of a story. I'd love to share this with you. So my last day in my insurance-based practice, this is actually a really good example of the quality of care you can give a one-on-one and not having to deal with insurance companies and all the paperwork and everything. And I'd love to get what you think about this, Andrew, because my last day of my insurance job, somebody needed their note, insurance had to approve it. So I had to call and talk to them. And long story short, it was a 30-minute conversation on the phone. This is taken away from my quality of care, by the way. I had a patient that I had to go over on because of this call. And essentially what happened was, one of us misread the outcome measure and insurance was not approving it, because either, I don't even know who did it wrong. I put it in wrong, or she's reading it. The person I'm talking to from insurance is reading it wrong. So essentially I wasted 30 minutes doing that instead of spending time with my patient. And also when I would get home, from working my insurance job, I had, I don't know, 60 notes I think I had to do. Right. And that took, I mean, I would stay up basically the rest of the night doing my notes. And what I do now when I have it, we're the same way. We see patients for an hour long. There's much less notes I have. And what I do in this free time, right? I get to spend this time. I look up stuff for my patients. I go home and I'm like, oh, they got this thing going on. You know, I know some stuff about it. Let me look up some stuff specifically for you. And like, I do that all the freaking time. Have you done the same thing, Andrew, where you're like, hey, this guy's got this thing going on. And let me look up something quick just to, you know, he might benefit from this exercise. Let me look something up for him. And you spend extra time instead of having to waste it on doing notes or talking with somebody from an insurance company.
Oh yeah. All the time. I mean, I almost every single day. I mean, it's, you know, even though I've, you know, done all these advanced trainings, it's the training, the learning, it never ends. And there's always different scenarios, different ways to improve. And having that extra time, yeah, it really allows you to give you the best, the highest quality product that you could, if you want to call it a product or service, whatever you want to call it, you know, for that athlete. But yeah, also yeah. Something that you pointed out, you know, which is also often overlooked, is physical therapy burnout. And, you know, I talked a lot earlier about how it's a disservice to the, you know, to the athlete when we're not able to provide that care that we want, because they're stuck with, you know, other patients being treated during the same hour in an inefficient facility with PT assistants and all that nonsense. But also, you know, you mentioned hours of notes. Burnout in physical therapy is real. And a lot of that is because of the reimbursements are so low and they're forcing us to see so many patients, you know, every single day, every single week. And I mean, I have so many friends of mine that are in the insurance model that, you know, they talk about, you know, just, they talk about that all the time. And when you have a physical therapist out because insurance is, you know, forcing them to see a ton of patients just to make ends meet. Well, I mean, that's going to increase stress levels in that therapist. It's going to decrease their motivation. They're not going to be able to provide that high level of care that they can. And it's a big problem, not just in our profession, but in many medical professions. And it's sad. I mean, it sucks for the patient, but it also sucks for the physical therapist because they're just kind of stuck in this bind. And so, you know, more the reason why, you know, the setup that you created, Matt, and same with myself, it's the wave of the future. And it's not only allows us to provide, you know, that care that we know we can, but, you know, it affords the athlete, you know, an avenue that was unavailable previously. And it's an avenue that's unique that can get them back to their high level activities, you know, without all that nonsense we just talked about.
Nice. And we talking about the burnout. I mean, I am 2 years out of school, right? I'm as a physical therapist, like I'm, you know, relatively new. You said you were 5 years out, right? Mm-hmm. When you decided, hey, I'm not doing this anymore. And I know, I mean, I was just telling you before the podcast, Andrew, that my mentor, he's a fantastic clinician orthopedically. He knows his shit, man. He's such a good physical therapist. He quit. Like he's going into cybersecurity now. He completely changed his profession because of all the right. He was a manager of the clinic I was at. He changed his profession because he knew if he wanted to own a clinic, that was probably the only way. I don't think he wanted to do that, but he knew it was so much work for not much of a reward of just, you know, cycling people in and cycling them out. At the event, so we got to see Kelly Starrett, who's in my opinion probably one of the most influential physical therapists, and he talked about calling ourselves physiotherapists to kind of distinguish ourselves from other physical therapists, and that's something I started right off the bat, and I just didn't know that he was doing that. But tell me about, I guess, what do you think about that, about calling yourself a physiotherapist and more of a performance based therapist to kind of set yourself apart from other physical therapists out there?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that he said that I don't use the word physiotherapist, but it's, and I love my profession, don't get me wrong. But I actually avoid the term physical therapist when I can, probably for the same reasons that, you know, that Kelly Starrett was talking about. You know, we're so much more than, you know, just solving pain or solving any particular impairment. I mean, we solve problems. You know, if an athlete is not able to squat because of back pain, we're not just solving his back pain. We are getting him back to squatting so that he can, you know, lose weight, get strong, get healthy. And yeah, so I agree 100% with what Kelly's going at. I mean, the physiotherapy, it's more than just, you know, what we do at a local level, but it's a global event. And, you know, it's collaboration and working with, you know, like-minded individuals all over the world, solving problems more so than just simply pain, which is, I avoid it because it's a misconception. You know, if I say physical therapy to a CrossFitter, yeah, who knows what pops in their head? They may, what more than likely might happen is they'll think about their mom who had a hip replacement, you know, 2 years ago, or their aunt that is doing some little banded TheraBand exercises and that, you know, that in, you know, in a clinic that has, you know, rug and no squat racks, there's no cable column machines and medicine balls. And, you know, the therapist is wearing khaki shorts and it's sad. So, love my profession though. That being said, I definitely want to end my comment there with that.
You love the khaki shorts example or the khaki pants example.
I just hated, like, how could you, I couldn't even, so one day I had to demonstrate a squat and my damn khakis ripped right at the crotch. And I had like this 3-inch rip that I had to deal with the rest of the day because I had these freaking khakis. It's just like, how the heck am I supposed to work on, you know, teaching a kettlebell swing or, you know, whatever the case is in freaking khakis? It's just like, come on.
At that point, just, you know, just make him into blue jeans and just buy, you know, two sizes, or make it just, you know, make him into shorts and just buy a size bigger. And there you go. Just now you can do that, right? Exactly. Yeah, I can wear khaki shorts. We're totally cool.
Yeah.
So I think last time I was going to say something, I forgot what it was, but getting into, because I mean, we're both entrepreneurs, right? I think our mentor, Danny, he always says, like, he was a reluctant entrepreneur. And I think you're probably the same way. I find myself the same exact, I feel the same exact way. Like, I didn't want to do this. I was forced into it, right? Like, I was forced into having to do my own thing because it doesn't exist. It does, not that it doesn't exist. It's just, there's not too many of us that exist.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I did not, consider myself an entrepreneur at all. It just happened to, fall into place because, you know, exactly for the reasons that we kind of talked about earlier. Just, I knew I could help these athletes in a very unique way that, you know, most people couldn't. So I had to, you know, my goal has always been my whole life to try to give back and to help others in any way I can. And, you know, just to be a part of the collective, you know, just as a human race, you know, just contribute, you know, and the only way I could do that was to do what I did. You know, just like you, I didn't really consider myself an entrepreneur necessarily. It's just kind of doing what I had to do to, because the system, the medical system, and I mean, it's, let's be honest, it's just a bit broken, unfortunately. You know, and the best thing a physician can do is surgery. I mean, surgery is not exactly, cutting into someone's body is not exactly always the biggest thing there or necessary thing to do. And don't get me wrong, surgery is an amazing, you know, treatment tool that's very necessary in many cases, but it's just so overdone. And especially with musculoskeletal type injuries. So it's just disappointing in a sense.
And I just have a quick patient story just to kind of piggyback off that of, it's not that, and listen, I know orthopedic surgeons, I know some of them are fantastic. I mean, it's just like any other profession. Some are great. Some are, you know, they passed their boards, they passed their exams, and now they're an orthopedist, or now they're a physician, just like physical therapy. There's some PTs that are, right, they got by, they squeaked by, and now they're out there, they're working. So one patient, she just wants to be active. She's not a runner, not a CrossFitter. She's had two back surgeries, and I think she spent like, it's like $25,000 or something like that on her back injections last year, and insurance paid for I think half of it or something. But I mean, like, basically getting no better, had two laminectomies. So essentially they go in and they cut part of the bone off to create more room for the nerves. So surgeon said, you're never going to bend or twist again. And she said, okay, never going back to you again. So, I mean, I've seen her for three visits. She has a foot drop. And I mean, I measured it. All I'm doing, Andrew, is simple mobility, simple hip mobility, her thoracic spine, simple thoracic mobility, which upper back mobility. And she's already feeling better. She's hiking better. She doesn't even want to get back. She just wants to be able to move and lift weights and just be a little bit active. And her foot drop is getting stronger because her low back's not compensating anymore and pinching on her nerves. And I'm like, no. And she had she an in-network therapist, and right. And it's not that they were doing anything wrong, but they just didn't have that performance side. And that it's simple stuff, simple mobility stuff, simple Kelly stress stuff that you can do that we know that as a performance therapist, that is helping her. And I'm like, no, how has no one done this? No one's taken the time and the effort to actually look at her and say, yeah, you've had some stuff going on. You have a drop foot. I mean, it's not a full drop foot. It's just weak, but you're not glass. You can still do a lot of things. And I guess, do you have any stories of just a patient you've seen recently or one that sticks out where you're like, they've been through the system and then now it's like, they just needed a practitioner to the give a shit rule and actually just have a basic level of knowledge on how to get them better.
Yeah, no, that story that you just told, it definitely resonated because it happens so often. It's sad. I can remember, you know, a somewhat similar story. This was back when I worked in the hospital system, and I had a patient that had a knee replacement, and she had a knee replacement, and I was seeing her, you know, for knee replacement rehab. And we're like talking, and she's like, this is a few weeks afterwards, and she's like, I'm still having the same pain that I had prior to the knee replacement. And I'm just like, huh? I'm like, they replaced your knee. Like, that's, you know, how can that be? She's like, no, yeah, same pain. And I just like, I was like, well, where's your pain located? Just like really simple questions. And what do you know? She kind of traced a line that went right underneath her knee. It wasn't, you know, deep dull or anything like that, which is classic for knee issues. It was a line. And I was like, oh, all right, well, let's just check this real quick. And so I checked one of the nerves that passes by her knee. And guess what? It was not her knee at all. It was actually a nerve that was irritated coming from the lower back. And, you know, after once we totally changed what we were doing, you know, and started treating the lower back and the nerve, and her pain was gone. And, but, you know, the important part to think here is she just had one of the most invasive, biggest surgeries you can have, you know, in terms of a knee replacement, all because she had knee pain, and the doc looked at an x-ray that showed arthritis and was like, oh, must be arthritis. And then, so she basically got a totally unnecessary surgery. And which is going to influence her the rest of her life. Obviously now she has an artificial knee, and it's just like, it's sad that things like this happen. And it's so simply missed, yep. You know, with nerve related. And there's many other stories similar to that, that I've gone through as well. It's just, it's unfortunate, but, you know, physical therapists, you know, they, in general, they're great people. Things can be missed, but, I think physical therapy as a profession that, you know, all in all, is just way underutilized compared to the amount of injections, the amount of, you know, pain pills that are prescribed and muscle relaxers. And, you know, sometimes I get people that have had pain for years, and I'm like, well, who have you seen for this? And they've like seen three different surgeons and sports medications, a whole bunch of different medications. They're like, yeah, nothing's working. I guess I got to get surgery. I'm like, come on, like this is ridiculous here. Like, why have none of those medical professionals suggested physical therapy? And it's I think we're moving in the right direction, but you know, it's slow.
I think even just with, because in the group that we're in, there's like about 100 people in the group across the whole country. So I know that kind of the physical therapy route, the cash-based physical therapy route is becoming more well known. And I think as word gets out, it's more therapists and even just patients are going to realize that, hey, this is different, right? This is a longer term solution. Because when I see somebody, I'm like, hey, right, we're going to find the root cause of the problem. We're going to address it. And then I'm going to show you how to take care of it on your own, right? With some simple things. And yeah, something else might come back. It pops up again. Hey, you'll know what to do. Hey, strengthen this or mobilize that. And people respond very well. I don't think many people I see, they're like, oh, no one's ever told me I can take care of it on my own. That's pretty cool. And I'm like, yeah, like it shouldn't be under lock and key. Like this stuff, right? We should teach people how to do this. And I think a lot of maybe physical therapists and chiropractors might like, oh, you know, you have to come to me to get better. But you're not going to never see anybody. People will, you know, people forget how to do things. And that, right, teaching somebody how to take care of themselves is in my opinion, probably the biggest thing we can do as a physical therapist. And I know you probably have the same ways or probably treat the same way. So tell me about kind of like, do you do the same thing? Like, hey, we're going to show you how to take care of this on your own. But if anything else does pop up, I'll be here.
Oh yeah, 100%. And yeah, I mean, just from the business perspective, you know, people may be like, oh, well, that's not a smart business move. You know, you're creating independence in people, giving them the tools to succeed long-term versus like, and again, I have nothing against chiropractors. I know a ton of awesome chiropractors, and I hate to even generalize or say anything at all in what I'm about to mention, but there's just been so many patients that have come to me and have told me that like they, you know, that they've been kind of almost instilled in their brain that they need to come back and see a particular practitioner for weeks, months, years, or a lifetime. And, you know, and well, hey, it's a good business model, I guess. But, you know, for us, if I can get someone lasting changes and my goal is to get them so they cannot see me so they don't need to see me anymore. If I can get long lasting changes, well, guess what? Then they're going to then tell their friends, their family, they're going to refer other people to us in, you know, because you know, we're able to make such long-term changes. And then that's kind of a ripple effect in that sense. And so the reason why I like that model so much more than seeing the same person over and over and over is because not only does it create independence, but I can impact a greater number of individuals because of that ripple effect. So, you know, without a doubt, I mean, getting to the root cause, you know, teaching them the why, specifically why them, and why this is happening to their individual body and what they're doing. But giving them the tools to succeed long-term. So, oh, if they do slip up 5 years from now with some of the basic concepts and things that we had talked about, then they should know, you know, or be able to look back in our very detailed emails and you know, instructions we provide, that they just, you know, they should know what to do to kind of get themselves back on the right track. And it's also, you know, super rewarding in that sense to create someone who's had pain for a long time, to create independence with them so that they're not only pain-free, but they know so much more about their body and they can live a, you know, a healthier, more active lifestyle long-term, without the need or, you know, being stuck on seeing someone once a week forever.
It is an old school model, right? And like many of the chiros that I know, in the area in Frederick, Maryland here, and even just in the surrounding area, although they're a little bit younger, those guys are like, I'm like, they got squat racks in their offices and I'm like, perfect. Like, these guys are awesome. Right. And I think it's that older, there's even an older guy here who he's big into kettlebells. I'm like, I go walk in his office. He's got kettlebells everywhere. I'm like, oh, sweet dude. That's this cool. Dude knows what's up. Right? So yes. So like the chiros here are they've impressed me a lot. So I'm very happy with how the practitioners are.
Yeah, sounds awesome. I wish I had more of them in Charlotte.
Nice. You got all the old guys, man. You got all the older chiropractors.
Yeah.
But awesome. So I think another point that I want to drive across is like why, because there are, I mean, in where I am, there are a buttload of private practices that are in network physical therapy practices. I mean, there's probably like 15, maybe 20 in the town, the city I'm in. And I want to hit the point across that like what we're doing, it's hard. Like doing the cash base is much more difficult than being in network. Number two, right. We're not like raking in the money, right? If I wanted to make a lot of money doing this, right, I would go the route many other, private practices have gone of, hey, being in network, hiring physical therapists and saying, oh, you're just going to, you know, having my physical therapist see multiple patients an hour. That's what they do in Buffalo, New York, where I came from. Sorry, not to offend anybody if you're from Buffalo, but Buffalo, I'm a big Bills fan, go Bills, but Buffalo sucks if you are a physical therapist. You will be seeing a lot of patients. It's 3 an hour. That's the standard, man. About at least 3 an hour. And it sucks. Like if you want to make a lot of money as a physical therapist, open up a private practice, take insurance and just hustle and bustle people in because you'll make a fortune. But we're doing it in an hour base. Like, yes, you may pay a little bit more up front. You'll probably get a lot of that back anyway from insurance, from out of network benefits. I mean, a good amount back. And I'm sure you can attest to that, Andrew, that insurance, the out of network benefits, a lot of times they pay. But it's the route that we've taken is not the easy route. It is the route of we have to work a lot harder the reason we're doing this is to help people. It's not to make a lot of money. And I just want to make sure that that misconception is not there of, oh, you're cash based. You just want to make money. I'm like, yes, you may have to pay more, but it's about actually helping people and helping people long term than just, hey, the money is just to allow us to keep doing this, right? Like it's just allows us to grow and keep doing this. And that's awesome. But the main reason we do it is to help people. And I'm sure you can attest to that, Andrew.
Yeah. Well, I mean, So definitely don't do this for the money. That's for one, but for two, you know, a lot of athletes that you know, and when I say the word athlete, I just call all my patients athletes. So patient, athlete, client, whatever you want to call them, patients. But yeah, athletes, all my athletes that come through, you know, it may seem at first like it may be a little bit more expensive, but I mean, if you were to consider a lot of other avenues, or let's just say these days, most people have a deductible of some sort and they need to hit that deductible before, if they want to use their insurance, you know, before insurance even helps them at all. And so if you're paying a full, you know, it's very common if you're paying, you know, using your insurance, you know, for a physical therapy visit. I mean, that could cost up to $300-$350 per visit. And that's the watered down, you know, watered down care that we had spoken about earlier. Yeah. Not to mention, yeah, oftentimes they want you to come in twice a week. So that's not only going to add up quickly, or let's say you don't have a deductible and you have copays, but you're going in twice a week and you have like a $50 or $80 or $100 copay. I mean, that adds up very quick. It's the lower quality of care, which is going to actually result in more visits overall. Even though, yeah, let's say I charge $200 and then this in the, but it, and that's not using my insurance, but you know, you could go to, you know, the in-network private or a private practice that accepts insurance and you're paying $50 copays. In the end, I mean, it's, if you kind of add it up, it's oftentimes actually more cost efficient for the athlete to not use their insurance. Because it adds up, and not only from a money standpoint, but time standpoint. I mean, you know, if you're asked to go in 2-3 times a week and, you know, you're kind of sitting there and doing your exercises in the corner of the room as the PT or assistant, you know, jumps from you to the next patient to the next. And, you know, your time away from your family, time away from, you know, your passions, you know, not to mention traffic and all that, it adds up. And so, you know, in the end, it's, you know, up front, maybe, you know, people are unsure, but in the end, it ends up being usually cheaper than actually using your insurance in a lot of cases, not to mention how frustrating insurance, frustrating all that can be just to deal with.
Yeah.
The old bill, you know,
just for being, I mean, you get
bill in the mail a month later, it's awful. 2 months later, often.
Delayed gratification, basically, that's the delayed gratification, right? And I mean, yes. So, think about this, guys. If you have, let's say you're talking to your lawyer, right? You're paying your lawyer, let's say $200 an hour, and all of a sudden, right, you have hour phone call with them, right? $200. That's just keep it easy. Maybe $300. Halfway through, your lawyer goes, "Oh, wait a minute, I have another consultation here. I'm gonna either A, hand you off to the paralegal, or I'm just gonna, you know, just bounce back. Just give me like 10 minutes. I'll be, you know, I'll put you on hold." And he's still charging you. It's like, well, wait, well, what? Like, it just doesn't, right? It's, there's something wrong with that. And that's basically what the right in-network model is, hey, you're getting bounced around, you're moving around. And right, imagine that when you're on a call with your CPA, with your lawyer, that's right. For some reason in physical therapy, it's okay. But you know, it's other professions, you'd be like, no, that's the, you know, I'm not going to pay you to do that. So just using another example, I think is a great way to understand that this is why we're doing it. Hey, if you want to see your lawyer for an hour and get the best advice and best care that way, why not with your physio? Why not with your performance-based physical therapist who is an expert in what you're dealing with? Right. And in my case, distance running and CrossFit, and Andrew's case, I mean, you're into, I mean, the weightlifting, the Olympic lifting and CrossFit, right, Andrew?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And just to piggyback off of what you're talking about there too, real quick. I mean, if you were to think about, you know, the value that we can provide in terms of helping solving these problems, these pain problems that are inhibiting athletes from, you know, performing high level sports and, you know, whether it's, you know, running, lifting or whatever the case is. I mean, think about the natural progression. What you pay with cash. I mean, the lawyer is a great example that you mentioned, but you know, if you think about, you know, massage therapists are awesome. I mean, their prices can range anywhere from 60 to 120, you know, high-end personal trainers, that could be $120-$150. And so, you know, if we're talking like 200 or 220, you know, for a performance physical therapist, that, you know, and the type of value that we can provide, it's just kind of a natural, almost, it almost fits in well as a natural progression with the value that we can provide having a doctoral degree, you know, and our expertise in the performance realm. And kind of when things are framed in that sense, and then a lot of athletes are like, oh yeah, I mean, you're kind of right. I don't know why I was under the impression that, you know, you were so expensive. It's really right on par with all the other professions, you know, especially thinking about what we can do for people. It's actually, I think, a freaking bargain if someone charges $200 for a visit to see a performance PT and the amount of specialized care that they get. But because think about long-term repercussions, you know, and long-term changes they can get and knowledge, it's amazing.
Yep. The sharing of knowledge of, hey, if you're having back pain when you're deadlifting, right, maybe it's the weight, right? It's the weight. I think I looked at one of your blog posts too about Like sometimes, like even just the example I had. Oh yeah, like typically if you go to a physician, it's like, oh, I have pain deadlifting. Well, stop deadlifting. But like, what if they love deadlifting, right? What if they love doing that? And it might just be a very simple thing. Oh, you're just not bracing the right way. You're not screwing your feet to the ground. You're not creating tension in your hamstrings, right? It's such a simple, right? And it's just, oh, you're just not moving the right way. You just do this, 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 and this. And they're like, oh, I move better. And sometimes it's not that simple. Sometimes it really is. It's that simple. And it's, right, just being told never deadlift again. Like, it's a skill. You can learn this skill if you go to somebody who knows how to do it.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I had so many examples, you know, in CrossFit, I get athletes all the time that tell me that their physician told them just to stop CrossFit and to, you know, to just start swimming. And swimming seems to always come back as like the be all end all greatest thing ever, I guess. But, it's Boy. Actually, you know, not, sorry, go ahead.
Buoyancy, you float in the water, man.
Exactly, yes. But it's, I mean, and not to necessarily go on a tangent here, my physical therapist, she is awesome. She is actually pregnant, and she's a very high level CrossFitter. She was actually ranked fourth in the state of North Carolina in women's overall in the CrossFit Open in 2020. And she's pregnant now, and she went to her doc, and she was like, so I love the exercise. High level CrossFitter, you know, I want to continue exercise or like, what are your recommendations? And the doc looked at her and he was like, actually you can't be doing CrossFit throughout this period. And she was like mind blown. And guess what? She ended up just found a different doctor.
Well, that's the great thing about that is there are a plethora of physicians and I mean a plethora of physical therapists too. So you find one you don't like you can shop around. That's the great thing about capitalism. There's always somebody else who right might have some different ideas that you're looking for. But so did she actually compete? She's still pregnant right now?
Yeah, she's in her second. She's due in September, and you know the time of filming this, it is what, April 16th. So she's in her second trimester right now. We're in a local competition this weekend and she's competing in it and there's a few movements that she can't do, but she's still exercising at a high level. You know, the info gathering, not to talk too much into necessarily off topic with pregnancy and CrossFit, but, you know, she's not going to push herself to gain new levels. But it's also unhealthy though to slow down her current heart rate and what her body's been used to most of her life, and so she's basically her plan is just to continue, mm-hmm. You know, exercising at the rate that she's been exercising at her whole life, and modify or sub out any movements throughout the process that she's unable to do, but definitely continue to exercise. And she's doing great. She's very healthy, and very excited for her.
I think runners, like when a female or when a woman gets pregnant and they love running, I'm pretty sure, I don't know for a fact, but there's like a certain point you can run up till and they recommend you don't, whatever the trimester is, but whether it is at the second trimester or third, I don't know when they recommend not running, but I'm sure eventually that will come to a point where, okay, now it's like actually not, okay, maybe you shouldn't be doing CrossFit at this one point later on, but you know, early on and wherever she's at now, I'm like, yeah, modify. Like you can still do what you love when you're pregnant or if you have an injury. And that's my thing too, is when people are told, oh, you just got to stop doing this thing. But like, if you have an issue with your bench press all the way down, oh, my shoulder hurts. Like, well, you can still bench press, just modify it a little bit while we're working at this. I mean, we're getting really off topic here, but like just right as we're progressing towards what you're doing, like you don't just have to stop it all the way. Just, hey, modify it as we, right. In that case, it's probably mobility. Maybe they're a little bit weak. Maybe they don't know how to bench press, right? Their shoulder might be like dipping forward. I just look at these simple things and say, okay, we can modify this. And it comes from more of just a confidence standpoint too on the clinician. Because when, for the most part, in my opinion, if somebody tells you just to stop doing something, they don't have an understanding of what that thing is, right? They're actually looking out for you. I don't mind them saying it, but then, right, if somebody says don't do CrossFit, it probably comes from an understanding of all they know about CrossFit is the CrossFit games and what watching Rich Froning, you know, and what he, like, that's their understanding of it. And it comes from a, I think that's what it is. They just don't understand what it is. And they say, just don't do this thing because I think it's scary. It's like, well, it's not, that's not exactly what it is.
Yeah. No, it creates fear avoidance, which is something that can be a huge issue in athletes. The fear of hurting themselves by movement, and so then they just avoid it altogether, which being inactive and sedentary, I mean, we all know the effects on the body and how negative that can be. And so, yeah, all of my athletes, you know, even on the first visit, regardless of the body part, one of the first things I say is we got to start sweating again. And, you know, there's always ways if it's an upper body injury, like, you know, and someone's goal is to get stronger and improve their health, like, okay, well, we can definitely start doing some lower body activities, you know, depending on how severe things are. You don't have to hold anything at all. It's so simple with lunges, you know, step ups or squats, whatever the case is. You know, I'll get an athlete that, let's say, you know, they tore a ligament in their ankle and they're, you know, they need to get back to high level activities. Well, hey, day one, I'm going to get those shoulders moving, get the upper body moving, and they're going to be sweating, even if they're in a boot or a cast. You know, there's just so much you can do. And there's so many positive effects that exercise has on the body, not just from a physical standpoint, but, you know, from the endocrine system, which is our hormones, and so many important, which basically regulates everything, and, you know, stimulating healing hormones throughout the body and increasing blood flow and nutrients, you know, pushing through everywhere. You know, it's super healthy. And so movement truly is medicine. And yeah, just to go back to your initial point, it just drives me crazy when someone's told to just stop everything and, you know, take 2 months off completely. I mean, of course, there's certain cases where that is needed, but vast majority, it's not.
It's become a vegetable. Just don't move.
Exactly. It's crazy.
So I know we talked a lot about just kind of what we do and more things that we've seen wrong in the profession. Because like we said, we love physical therapy. It's just many people don't understand it and many people have had bad experiences with it. And that's kind of where, honestly, like even like the patient I was talking about earlier with two back surgeries, now she's doing a lot better. A lot of people that I get, either A, they know what they want and they know that I can help them, or B, they've been in the system before and they've had a bad experience at a traditional physical therapy practice. And Andrea, has that been the same for you, of someone that A, they know what they want, or B, they've had a bad experience before and they're looking for something else?
Especially B. I mean, I would say probably 60% of my patients have, you know, have had a bad experience going through, you know, the bigger hospital clinics, the bigger private practices, the systems, if you will. And, you know, and they just, they're full of regret. You know, they just didn't know better, and I don't blame them. You know, it's not necessarily their fault, but, yeah, it's a shame. But, you know, it's, like I said earlier, I think as time goes on, especially in like the CrossFit and the weightlifting world, in, you know, in runners, it's in athletes, it's becoming more and more known and more aware of other options out there, you know, with practices like ours that are very unique and tailored towards the athlete specifically. And so it's just gonna take some time, but yeah, all the time. I mean, it happens too often.
So I guess we did talk about a lot of that stuff. So tell me about kind of just where you are right now. So kind of where, I know we were talking about, hey, you're in the CrossFit box, right? But you have your own facility on the side. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's a very unique setup because we have our own private space. We have two treatment rooms inside of a CrossFit gym. So not only do we have, like I said, our own private space to do whatever we need to do, but we have access to anything and everything inside the gym anytime we need, whether it's barbells, medicine balls, kettlebells, you know, dumbbells, you know, big open space. So it's a very unique setup that, you know, allows privacy and, you know, in a sense, we can do anything we need with the rooms, but also access to the entire facility, which is a big part of what allows us to get, you know, athletes back to higher level activities. So it's super set up.
So someone's got to do some cleans or some deadlifts. Barbell's right there, man. You don't. I mean, if you're, I mean, I guess if you're in the traditional physical therapy. Yeah, I mean, if just grab the, I mean, the practice I was at, the highest level dumbbell they had was like, I think it was 15 pounds. That was it.
Same here. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You can, I mean, I guess you could do a 200 deadlifts with 15-pound dumbbells if you had to.
Yeah, that's a quite a different stimulus, but man, I would probably just need to just jump on my patient's back to provide some resistance at that point.
Just have them deadlift you, essentially. But I mean, it's back with you, Andrew, because I think the last guest I had on, I talked about the same thing of it's I think people are starting to realize that hey, this in network practice is not, by all means, hey, they're great if you have a joint replacement, that's awesome. You know, just getting that, but from a time efficiency standpoint, even from a money efficiency standpoint of like, you actually might cost the same. If it costs more, hey, that it kind of, it is what it is, but if it might actually cost the same with out of network benefits. So just the, kind of everything involved with having people understand what we do and how we do it. It's definitely a challenge. Like social media definitely helps of being able to post, hey, this is what I do, how I do it. But I guess, how have you kind of talk to people? How, when someone like calls you like, hey, this is what you do, blah, blah, blah. I guess, how do you talk to people? How do you say, hey, this is what I do? I know you said you don't really say you're a physical therapist, right? You say, what do you tell people? You're a performance trainer. Like, how do you approach that topic?
Well, I mean, it's anyone who is interested in whether they reach out or want to do some work. I mean, I treat them like a human being, you know, I have a candid conversation with them and I just, you know, I learn about what problems they're having or what is holding them back. And, you know, I'm just very real with them. And I'll spend with every single patient, I'll spend, you know, 20, sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes more on the phone with them before they decide to do any work with me at all. And so I'm, you know, I throughout my entire life, both as when I was growing up and going through physical therapy and when I worked for the hospital systems, it wasn't a single time where I spoke to a patient prior to them coming in, much less for 30 minutes to talk about some of their long-term goals without any commitment. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's just building that relationship, you know, treating them like an actual person and not just another number in the system. And, heck, there's many times they don't even, I think they know I'm a physical therapist. I don't know. We don't really talk. They don't, all they know is that I can solve a problem that they're dealing with. And, you know, in a way that most can't, and that's very unique, and with the goal of getting to the root cause and solving it long term. And once we start talking about that stuff, and you know, it's I'll then talk further about, you know, what the sessions look like, in the sense that they're one on one and an hour long, and everything we spoke about, and that's it. I mean, I think it's actually really cool to have a patient inquire, and you know, go through a full, you know, plan of care with them, however long that is, and not once use the word physical therapy. So it's just solving problems, which is the coolest thing about it.
Yeah. The give a shit rule, right? Like actually giving a shit about the, you know, I mean, I'm sure like, you know, in network practitioners do, but like the level that me and you can do it at, I mean, there's no way if they said they would get on a call for like 5 minutes. I'm like, I do the same thing. Like I jumped on a call the other day, driving home from another patient's house, I was like for 30 minutes, all right? The ride was 35 minutes, but I jumped on a call for 30 minutes and just talked to somebody. And I think I agree with you. I don't think I even said she was an occupational therapist. So I just brought up, hey, I'm a PT, because she's a runner and she's a coach. So we kind of, we really bonded a little bit over that, but it was just the rapport you get to build with somebody and just right? Talking to somebody, listening to them and saying, hey, this is what you have going on. Right, I can fix that for you, and explaining how you can fix it. I mean, it just opens people's minds. Like, oh, no one's ever, the first person I ever worked with, right? He lives in Iowa. right, I couldn't call it physical therapy; it was training with him. And I just told him, hey, man, you know, I listened to him for 30 minutes, and he's like, you know, no one's ever listened to me for 30 minutes. Like, no one's ever done this. So he thanked me, and I was like, dude, I just want to know your story, right? And he was. He had been through a shit ton. I mean, hip surgery, back surgery, recurrent low back pain, and wants to get back to running and doing triathlons. And I was like, he's like, yeah, no one's ever actually listened to me and let me tell my whole story. And because he kept saying, oh, I'm sorry if I keep rambling. Sorry if I keep rambling. But like everything he said, I'm like, oh, I'm learning more about what's going on. I'm like, was he rambling? Maybe a little bit here and there. But most of what he was talking about, I wanted to listen to. I wanted to. Even when he was rambling, I'm like, oh, this is pretty interesting. He's talking about his triathlon when he, you know, he did this great race. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. So like, even when he was doing that, I gave a shit, right? And I not just me saying it, like I actually give all right, I actually care about what you're going through. And when he realized that, he was like, oh, I'm going to work with you. Because I think at that point, he knew that A, I cared, B, all right, he called me for a reason. I know I can help him. So I have you had any stories like that where someone's just kind of like, oh, you know, you're actually listening to me. This is the first time this has ever happened.
Oh yeah. Isn't that crazy that, you know, this is the first instance that they were able to actually spend time chatting, you know, having a candid conversation with a medical professional about, you know, about the situation that they're in. It's like, these days, everything is just so money driven. It's so like high volume driven. It's, you know, that personal interaction is just, it's overlooked. And I actually had a few phone calls right before we jumped on today with some athletes that were having, you know, some different injuries that they wanted to get through. And actually two of the three calls were like, oh, sorry, I'm just kind of, you know, going on and on here. I'm like, no, I'm like, the more details, the better. And they were like kind of shocked at first. But then they're like, you know, you could tell in their voice how excited they were that, like, you know, they actually have someone that is listening and truly cares about getting them to their goals. Like the one guy, he's, you know, he started working out, you know, 3 years ago because he was having all kinds of lower back. He was sedentary, had all kinds of lower back issues, got into CrossFit and powerlifting and then strongman. And then now he's having all these setbacks and doctor wants to do surgery. And he's like, no one's giving him the time of day. And he lit up like a light bulb when I was actually just talking to him about things he wanted to work towards getting back to. And he didn't even know that, you know, people like I even existed. He just happened to stumble upon me on Google. It's just wild to me that, you know, there aren't any, that it's so far and few between, like, that someone has to really find a very, you know, a specialist in the field, you know, that doesn't accept insurance directly, you know, in order to get the care that they need. Like, it's just, it's unfortunate that that's where we're at in the world today, but that kind of goes back to one of the many pieces and where I mentioned that the medical model is a little bit broken these days, but, it's just wild to me.
Those Google reviews matter, guys. They help us show up on Google.
Yeah, for sure.
It's huge. I mean, we could talk all day about it. But if somebody Googles physical therapy in Charlotte, North Carolina, how do you rank? I'm just curious.
I haven't checked recently. It depends on what you type in. Yeah. If you typed in physical therapy Charlotte, I'm pretty sure I'll be on the first page. Okay. But not near the top. I mean, I know that. Yeah. So I've been so fortunate to have so many awesome patients over the years that, you know, where that love their experience and where, you know, and that wrote a review for me. And, you know, we're somewhere around like 70 or so, and, or getting close to it at least. And, but then you look at the next kind of group in line and, or the next practice in line, and it's like maybe 7, maybe 13. You know, it's people. And then you look at the restaurant industry and it's like, you know, it's reviews galore. And, you know, the reviews, when people have a good experience, that's when the reviews come in. And the whole experience aspect of in the medical side of things is just overlooked. And, you know, it's part of that experience that allows, you know, listening to athletes, listening to their story and, you know, providing them that higher level of care that just creates that whole experience. And, it's unfortunate that, you know, people get injured and then they think about physical therapy, then they're like, what do I got to do again? I got to go to where? And it's like, no, you should be excited about it. I mean, this isn't like, it's like a reset button. It's an opportunity to not only get past this injury, but take your body to the next level and learn about why stuff like this happened and really improve, you know, through and through. So,
you get to find out, like, I'm sure you probably see this all the time. You find out more, like, oh, you have this thing going on in your hip. What's right? Your incomplete mechanics. Oh, you're just right. You have this thing going on in your squat. You also have the shoulder thing going on. Oh, we can look at that too, because right, as a physiotherapist, I'm going to treat the whole body, right? Your lat goes from your low back all the way to your shoulder, right? The lat might be involved. Hey, let's take a look at this. So, I mean, we could talk all day about this stuff. I love talking with you, Andrew. I appreciate you coming on, but we're coming close to our time limit here. So tell people about, if they want to learn kind of just more about what you do and more about what a cash-based therapist does, or they want to get in contact with you, how would they find you?
Yeah, Matt, thank you so much for having me on. I absolutely had a blast today. Love talking with you. If anyone has any questions for me, or if they want to learn more about my business or want to chat, so my company's name is The Charlotte Athlete. So my website is thecharlotteathlete.com. Again, my name is Andrew. You can email me at andrew@thecharlotteathlete.com. You can find us on Instagram. We try to post new content daily on Instagram to help out as many people as possible. So at The Charlotte Athlete is our Instagram handle. Or we have a YouTube channel with tons of great videos, geared towards athletes to help them, take their sport to the next level. And that's just simply The Charlotte Athlete on our YouTube channel. So yeah, Matt, it's been a blast. Thank you so much for having me. I had an awesome time.
All right, man. But guys, thanks for listening. And again, this was Andrew Keenis, and please look him up if you have any questions about what he does or what a catch-based therapist does. And I'll catch you guys next time.
Cool. Thanks again, Matt.
Hey, wait a minute, guys. I just wanted to say thanks for listening to the podcast today. And if you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support this podcast, please share this with others by taking a screenshot of this episode and posting it to your story on Instagram and tag Alpha Project Physio so we can repost it. And to stay up on all the latest from me, please follow Alpha Project Physio on Instagram and Facebook, and then subscribe to the Alpha Project newsletter at www.alphaprojectphysio.com. See you guys next time.